We came of age in the era of the Vietnam War. Do we look more familiar there, Mick? When the U.S. was drafting young men for military service, and when alternate service opportunities for conscientious objectors to war sent many young Anabaptist men to Africa. We had both grown up in pastors' families where mission service was valued, and we wanted to do some cross-cultural ministry before we settled down to life in North America. That's a funny thing. Mm-hmm. Our choice was the church's mission hospital just off the Navajo Reservation in New Mexico. But when we offered ourselves to the mission board for service there, they said they didn't need us, not in that place, because the Indian Health Service was making medical care at that place redundant. But would we consider service in Southern Africa, where the Brethren in Christ had four hospitals and rural health centers that needed staff? We first said a resounding no, but as administrators and former missionaries visited us and told us what life and work was like in these places, our reluctance was gradually worn down.
Mata Hospital had been founded in its current location in 1957 by the first BIC missionary doctor, Alvin Tuma. But the establishment of medical care had come much earlier. Martha Kaufman was the first registered nurse in 1924 working out of this one-room grass-roof hut. The first hospital building came a number of years later. Macha Hospital is now one of the largest rural hospitals in Zambia.
We arrived at Macha Hospital in September of 1975. Zambia, like many African countries, was in its heady first decade of independence. Its economic strength was based on the copper in its mines. The government was promising free education and medical care for all of its people. There was a great deal of optimism. The independence movement in Africa as a whole had led some people to call for an end to the era of Western missions. Zimbabwean theologian Pius Wagatama had written a book to that effect. And so we were very cautious and uncertain about what our role would be outside of John's work in the hospital. He was very much needed, as Zambia had few medical professionals. The Brethren in Christ Church, which had been founded on mission work, begun in 1906, had many Zambian pastors and leaders. But there were still a large number of missionaries in various roles, including that of bishop. But this was also changing with the hearty blessing and encouragement of the missionary community. Soon after we arrived, Reverend William Silungwe, one of the first graduates of Sikolongo Bible Institute, was elected to be the first Zambian bishop of the church.
Macha Hospital was assigned its first Zambian senior staff member by the Ministry of Health in 1982, a registered nurse. More came after that as Mission Administrator Roy Sider pushed hard for Zambianization. And in 1985, Mukur Kalambo, a graduate of Messiah College, became our first Zambian hospital administrator. So what was our role? We knew my services as a doctor were needed at Macha Hospital, and continuing partnership with Western missionaries was welcomed by most Zambians. But we had hesitations about what our church involvement should be beyond just attending. We made friends early on with a young single Zambian teacher in our community, and after a number of years, after marriage and theological training, he became our pastor. It was our pastor, Enoch Shamapani, who came to us at one point and said, "Does the Holy Spirit speak to you? We need to hear from you as members of our congregation. Don't be afraid that we'll just do what you say. Gone is the day when whatever the missionary says is what happens. But if you're part of our church and part of our body, we need to hear from you." This encouragement gave us freedom to participate much more fully in the life of the church.
On our first furlough, I remember being asked, "And what do you do?" John's role was well understood, but people in the North American Brethren in Christ Church seemed to want to know that their mission dollars were well invested in me also. My role varied and changed according to the needs around us, according to my interests, and of course, according to the ages of our children. They included acting as a scrub nurse and sewing for the hospital, teaching math to nursing students, helping with accounts, training literacy tutors, facilitating language learning, teaching theological education by extension, visiting in villages and in rural churches, and being the communication link between the Zambian church and Brethren in Christ Mission. And of course, there were ever-present hospitality needs. When you lived 40 miles from the nearest town, you could expect to host visitors and passers-by on a regular basis. I loved the variety in my life. We were and are very thankful for administrators who were flexible and supportive of our changing situation on the ground, and especially in their response to our desire not to send our children away for their education.
One popular missionary principle in those days was get in, get ahead, get alongside, get behind, and get out. Our initial commitment was 2 years of voluntary service, but we soon saw that this was barely enough time to get in. As we served longer, we began to see the value in long-term cross-cultural partnerships in a spirit of humility and cooperation as a much better fit for our situation. We looked to Zambian co-workers and leaders as well as mission administrators and colleagues for advice about how long we should stay in Zambia and what our role should be. And we had great admiration for long-term missionaries who made many adaptations, moves, and adjustments according to the needs of the church and community for their services and in changing times. Mary Olive Lady was one of these, and Esther often said that Edie Miller was her hero of adaptability.
Why stay so long at the same place? We have come to believe that, especially in a relational society, the benefits of long service can't be overstated. It takes time to know people well and to gauge situations well. I've often said that I felt that the longer I stayed, the fewer things I knew for sure. I could see that what I had thought about something initially was not a true reading. I also noticed that even when I understood all the Tonga words in a particular sentence, I didn't necessarily get the meaning of that sentence. And so asking the advice of local people was essential. And we had to trust that they, in their desire to say what they thought we wanted to hear, that they didn't distort the truth just to say what would please us. This takes more than just surface relationships, not a little time and a great deal of shared wisdom. Staying a long time brought the incomparable advantage of establishing deep and lasting relationships and friendships with both Zambians and expatriate co-workers. We want to introduce you to some of our friends and colleagues.
Phil and Elaine Tuma arrived at Macha 1 year after we did. Phil and I were colleagues at college and med school together, although we didn't know each other very well at that time. Our partnership, both in and out of the hospital, was truly a gift from God. We were both committed to good medical care and to the church, and we thought alike about a lot of things. Phil is an excellent pediatrician, teacher, and researcher. His close relationships with the community is unique among researchers, making him much more effective. Elaine laughs more than most people and has been a wonderful support for him, hosting visitors and being very involved in the church and community, especially with women. Our friendship with the Tumas has contributed significantly to our long service at Macha. When they went back, Elaine now has to use a wheelchair when she's outside the house. She has a progressive muscular disease, and you can pray with us that this will be slowly progressive so that they can continue their work at Macha. Mr. Colombo was the first Zambian hospital administrator. Before he came, I was unsure how it would work to have a Zambian in charge of the money. But he was a gift from God to the hospital. He was an excellent administrator as well as a good businessman and a committed churchman. He kept the hospital going through some very difficult financial times with his creative and entrepreneurial abilities, and he became a very close friend. During the 1980s, I was his boss. When we returned to Mach in 2001, he was my boss. Many people thought this wouldn't work, but it worked well for us. When he retired from the hospital, he now works with the research program.
Mrs. Palumbo, or Bina Chalobi, was my neighbor for many years. She became a dear friend. We studied together in the Brethren in Christ Theological Distance Learning Program, and she indeed was my hero of hospitality. It didn't matter what time of day or night visitors arrived. She always gave them a warm welcome and good food, and I never heard her complain about it. The community suffered a great loss when she died in a traffic accident in 2010. Mutinta Nyirenda came to Christ as a nursing student in Lusaka under the ministry of long-term BIC missionaries Pete and Mim Stern. She responded to John's call in the 1980s for Zambian Christian professionals to serve in rural areas of their own country. She became the nurse in charge at Sikolongo Rural Health Center, and she married a Bible school graduate. Together they served in pastoral ministry, but then Peter became sick and he eventually died. His illness brought them to Macha, where Mutinta worked as a nurse and raised the children. She eventually became our nursing supervisor. I participated in a Bible study she hosted in her home for many years. And there I made wonderful friends and sisters in Christ of other staff and community women. Mutinta died last year, and we lost a wonderful sister in Christ. Other women were also key in my life at Macha. I felt great warmth in contact and ministry with the wives of overseers and pastors. On Saturday afternoons, a number of us Macha women met first to clean the church and then to have Bible study and prayer together. We really learned to bear each other's burdens in a very special way. I remember our old mother, Bina Flo, during the height of the AIDS crisis, telling us to get down on our knees and pray for our children and grandchildren, that God would have mercy on them.
Chris and Marla's book served for 3 years at Sikolongo in the early 1980s. Afterward, Chris was the administrator at Paxton Ministries in Harrisburg for over 20 years. They came to Macha about 7 years ago for Chris to become an administrator at Macha Research Trust. Marla's volunteered in the AIDS clinic, helping keep the files in order. They are very relational people and who connected with lots of short-term people, medical students and other short-term people who came to Macha and contributed significantly to the health of our community. They helped us host and lead an Alpha Evangelistic Bible study in their home for several years.
All of us have a part to play in God's work, whether at Macha, in Millersville, or other places in the global church body. Paul once wrote this short description of kingdom work to the Corinthians. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. We were just part of a large group of God's servants in our community. As far as the get out part of the missions paradigm goes, we would see an ongoing place for expatriate Christians serving alongside Zambians for a long time yet. Just as we think our North American church life is enriched by people of other nations living and worshiping among us here.
One of the benefits of long-term medical service is the reward of helping to make changes in the health of a community. There are a number of diseases that were common when we began serving at Macha that are now very uncommon. Neonatal tetanus is tetanus in the newborn babies due to poor care of the umbilical cord. I didn't even know what this was when I arrived at Macha, let alone how to treat it. We had one case a month, and more than half of those babies died. But we learned that by giving 2 tetanus shots to a pregnant woman, this can be prevented. And I have not seen any cases of this for over 20 years. Measles was a devastating disease in Zambia. In 1980, we admitted 450 children in the pediatric ward, and 50 of those children died. But once again, we learned that by giving two measles shots to children instead of one, we could prevent this disease. And I saw my last case of measles more than 5 years ago. Schistosomiasis, probably unknown to most of you, was at one point in time the most common disease in the world. It's a parasitic disease, and I remember having lines of school children in the hospital staying for 3 days of a very uncomfortable treatment. With better hygiene and better treatment, this is now a very uncommon disease in the hospital. Trachoma is a bacterial disease of the eye that affects the upper eyelid, turning it inside, making the lashes scratch the eye and contributing to blindness. We used to have so many of these people, and we operated so often that I taught the operating nurse, room nurse, to do the procedures because I didn't have time to do them all. But with better treatment and better hygiene, washing the face with clean water, this is now very uncommon. The ophthalmologist who's now at Matcha did two of these procedures in the last 6 months. Leprosy was common during our first term. We had 75 to 100 patients in our leprosy clinic. We diagnosed one a month. But with better treatment, this disease is nearly gone. And I've only diagnosed new cases of leprosy since our return in 2001. Malaria was once our most common reason for admission and death in the hospital, and that's been reduced by over 95% and is now relatively uncommon. And HIV and AIDS has gone from a death sentence to being a chronic treatable disease. I'd like to tell you about four areas in which I've been involved that have given me great satisfaction. I could tell you a lot more, but we don't have the time this morning. Malaria. We knew that early missionaries often died from malaria, but we thought that by 1975, when we went to Matcha, that era was over. But 3 days after we arrived at Matcha, a Canadian nurse died from cerebral malaria. Malaria was the most common disease and common cause of death in children for many years. So many young children died that Dr. Phil Tuma had a burden to change that. He started doing malaria research and was later joined by Johns Hopkins University in what is now Matcha Research Trust. Located next to Matcha Hospital, Matcha Research Trust has grown into a first-class research program that is well-known throughout the world. As a result of changes in care resulting from research, we have seen a 95% decrease in malaria admissions and malaria deaths in children. Eye work. In 1981, the only doctor doing cataract extractions in our part of Zambia left. I spent 6 weeks in Tanzania learning from an ophthalmologist and returned to Matcha to open an eye clinic. From then until our return to the U.S. in 1987, I did about 100 cataract operations a year, along with glaucoma and trachoma surgery. Nothing that I've done in medicine is more exciting than operating on a person who's been blind and helping them see. My first cataract patient had lived about 5 miles from the hospital, had been sitting in his village for 4 years, and rode his bicycle to his 6-week checkup. I no longer do the eye work in the hospital since the hospital now has a Dutch ophthalmologist, Samuel Verkerk, who had spent several years at Matcha as a boy when his parents were giving service. Here's a video of a woman after cataract surgery when she saw her great-granddaughter for the first time in several years.
Hello.
watch the doctor as well as the patient. Thank you, The third area is HIV and AIDS. We saw our first few cases of AIDS in 1986, just before we left Macha for what turned out to be a very long leave. When we returned 14 years later, the epidemic was full-blown and devastating. AIDS was the most common cause for admission and death in the hospital, and no treatment was available in our area. We went to a funeral of someone we knew or a family member every week, and 5 to 7 hospital staff members died from AIDS every year. Then in 2005, we began treating patients with antiretroviral drugs, ARVs, which kill the virus. Since then, we have registered over 11,000 patients in the antiretroviral therapy clinic, and it has changed our community. Now AIDS is a chronic, treatable disease like hypertension or diabetes, and no longer a death sentence. And ARVs not only treat the disease, but stop the spread of the disease, because the patient no longer gives the disease to other people once they've been on ARVs. One measure of the effectiveness of this is seen in the HIV-positive pregnant women who attend the Macha Hospital antenatal clinic. Without treatment, 40% of their babies would be HIV-positive. But with giving every pregnant HIV-positive woman ARVs, we have not had an HIV-positive baby born at the hospital in the last 6 years. The success of the AIDS program has been greatly enhanced by good cooperation from Chief Macha, the local village headmen, and the community at large. The fourth area is skin grafting of burns. One of the sad and difficult things in medical practice in Zambia is the number of burns we see, especially in children. They get too close to cooking fires or get caught in bushfires, often while wearing very flammable clothing. Over the years, we've become good at treating these burn patients. Several times a year, a plastic surgeon from Lusaka, Dr. Gorin, visited the hospital and helped us by doing skin grafts on these patients. I improved my ability as I learned from him, and it became one of the important roles for me in the last few years. Let me tell you the story of Soft. 6-year-old Soft Moitwa came to us about a year after he had had his scalp, neck, and upper back burned. He'd been treated in another hospital where they did not do skin grafts. After 2 months, his father and his parents took him home to a very rural area. 10 months later, he came to us. His father brought him with the burn still mostly unhealed. He was malnourished and very anemic with a hemoglobin of 2. Normal is 14, and we normally would think 2 would be a death sentence. Someone wouldn't be alive with 2. He had also lost his right eye due to the burns. We transfused him, fed him, and grafted him several times. He was a delightful child. After the first skin graft, his legs, where I took take the skin from, hurt so bad that he called the nurse over and said, "Nurse, I think I'm going to die because of this pain." Then he looked up at her and he said, "Can we pray?" And he said, "Dear Jesus, I'm just a little boy and I hurt so bad. I've been hurting for a year and now this is the worst and I think I'm going to die from this pain. Won't you please heal me?" As he got better, he walked all around the hospital, including going to chapel on Wednesdays, and had a smile and a greeting for everyone. He even told the painter how to paint the ward. Recently, Amanda, a pediatric nurse serving under BIC Canada, sent me a picture of him on the day he was discharged. She said everyone in the ward came to say goodbye to the Sibuku, the headman of the ward. He'd been there so long, he was called the headman. This boy would not be alive without the care given at Macha Hospital.
There's a new generation of Zambian leadership in the church. Long-term Bishop Tumahamakangandu, who was the third Zambian bishop, has just turned over leadership to new bishop Charles Nsemeni. For many years, Reverend Nsemeni was the Bible school principal, and he had also served the church as a district overseer. He is a godly and capable man, but in January, he endured the sudden tragedy of losing his wife to a stroke. Shortly before his consecration service, this couple has six children. Life and ministry without his partner seems almost impossible to him. I wish you would remember Bishop Nsemeni in your prayers. For a long time, the overseers stepped in and did the administrative work, but now he has resumed the leadership of the church, but he still needs our prayers. Not only with the church, but with his family. Younger people are also taking the reins and wrestling with what it means to be faithful Christ followers in today's Zambia. Church planting has long been a key element of the church's ministry. And in Zambia, church planting in rural areas is fairly easy. You can call a few people together under a tree and preach. Many will come and many will respond. However, finding good leadership for that group is a bigger challenge. In the years we were part of Macha Church, seven daughter congregations were planted, and a number of granddaughter congregations are also now functioning. But discipleship is not so easy. Church leaders have long said that this is one of the greatest needs in the church. So they were very welcoming of a new ministry called Push the Rock Zambia, initiated by Macha missionary kid Eric Tuma and his wife Corey. On the surface, Push the Rock is a sports ministry, but actually, the goal is to train young Zambians to teach and model for children and youth what it looks like to follow Jesus in everyday life. Another opportunity to influence the lives of children is the Macha International Christian School, a fairly new school of the Zambia Brethren in Christ Church, about a mile from the hospital. Here, two families from BIC Canada serve along with a number of Christian Zambians, teachers, and general workers. The spiritual formation and superior quality of the education children receive here make it attractive for working professionals to send their children to this school. They also make provision by way of scholarships for about 50 AIDS orphans to board and attend school. Mix welcomes young people from the U.S. and Canada to serve as interns for three-month periods. No matter where we live, media and technology are both a blessing and a threat to the Christian life. For many years, television has come into the sitting rooms of millions of Zambians. Programs from the U.S., Nigeria, South Africa, and other places bringing the challenge of prosperity gospel teaching. Name it and claim it is very attractive to people who have little in the way of earthly riches. What they see on television has also influenced the style of church services. More keyboards and amplifiers, praise singers, and loud preaching. And in a society where demonic activity is often apparent, there are more public rather than private prayers for deliverance from demon oppression. Prosperity gospel is all the more attractive because of the way it fits with African traditional religion. People traditionally use charms and make sacrifices in ways that they will hope will force the spirits to do what they want them to do. Prosperity gospel seems to say that if we muster enough faith or give money in the appropriate directions, we can obligate God to bless us. In contrast, isn't the call of Christ that we conform ourselves to God's will rather than trying to get God to do our will? Please pray with us about these challenges.
So why retire now? For a number of years, we've been struggling with a common reality of our generation. aging parents, and growing grandchildren. From 2010 to 2015, Esther was mostly in Pennsylvania taking care of her parents until their deaths. Our separation was not always easy, but in retrospect, we feel it was right for us. This was a double blessing, being able to give back a few years for the many ways they encouraged and supported us during our many years in Zambia. Another real benefit for Esther during these years was that she had more opportunity to spend time with the children and grandchildren. I'm looking forward to such times in the future, and in fact, I'm enjoying them now. For a long time, I said I wanted to wait until I was 70 to retire. But as that milestone got closer, we weren't sure we were ready. God confirmed our leaving Macha in several distinct ways this past year, and we are thankful for that. One way is that there have never been more doctors on staff at Macha Hospital as there are now. I left 6 doctors and 2 interns. Dr. Charles Hachobi has been at Macha for about 10 years. He currently is head of clinical care. He's an excellent doctor and a faithful and active churchman. And I just got an email that said he had grafted a child with a burn and it took well. Another reason for retiring now is that my father is still living at age 97 and I want to spend more time with him.
When we left Macha in mid-December, we were the last Zambia missionary sent out by BICUS missions. It felt strange to need to finalize, to get rid of things, to entrust details to others. We're thankful that a new BICUS missionary family is on the horizon. Tony Beers is a water engineer, and he's given service in a number of African countries. Now he'll be entering service with the Compassionate Ministries Program of the Zambia Brethren in Christ Church, with his family, wife Veronica, who's a nurse, and daughters Lily and Natasha. Pray for them as they finish raising support and finalize the details of their service. They're hoping to leave by the end of June. Maybe you're feeling a nudge from God to become involved in cross-cultural missions, or maybe you have parents or children or grandchildren that you would like to see get involved. There are some opportunities to advance the kingdom. SPICE is an old, but very effective and valuable program of BIC missions. I think we've read from other sources in recent years of the effectiveness of child sponsorship programs. This is sponsoring children in Asia, particularly India and Nepal. A number of these children have already grown up to help or lead in the church. BIC US has developed a new internship here in the States, a 1-year internship called Thrive. And it's designed to equip young people to impact their culture and explore their calling from God. You know, we sang this morning about the reckless love of God and the length to which God goes to extend his love and to bring us to himself. Today, I want to challenge you, what lengths will we go to take that love and to share that love with others? You can look on the display table. Unfortunately, I realized after we got here that my supply of these 2 brochures is very limited, but I will send some more to the church. So please look for those in the future. I think we have a couple of Thrive brochures and just 1 of the SPICE program. There's increasing opportunity in this day and age to be involved in cross-cultural ministry right where you are. You're really close to Millersville University, and we know there's an international house there. And so maybe God is calling some of you to connect with internationals right here at home.
There's also a TV monitor out there playing 2 videos. Both of them are 6 or 7 minutes. One about the hospital and the work, some of the things we've talked about here, and one about the research program, a combination of Hopkins and Macha, looking at the mosquitoes, then looking at the research program. We're not saying that we'll never see Macha Hospital again. We would like to do several months each year as God allows. It was easier to say goodbye to friends and co-workers thinking we were going to go back.
Revelation 5, 9, and 10 gives a wonderful picture of singing a new song to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth. If God does not allow us to return to our other home and family, we have this hope that buoys us. We can look forward to singing around the throne of God with these dear brothers and sisters. May God keep us all faithful and expectant. God bless you.
Well, that was exciting. And very interesting. I love to hear people come back and share what God is doing there. I feel connected to the missions stations, wherever they may be. We might have a call. Does anyone have any questions for John or Esther quickly? Anybody? I'm putting you on the spot, but I thought. Anyone? Leprosy caught my attention. You know, how do you treat leprosy? I think it is now.
When we started, we used one drug, Dapsone, and the more infectious forms of leprosy had to be treated all their life. The other ones were treated for about 10 years. They've developed a program where they use three drugs now for leprosy. And so a 5 or 10 year treatment cures people.
Cures it. Good. Good.
The other thing most people don't know is that leprosy is probably the least infectious of infectious diseases.
Goodness.
You have to really live with someone to get the disease. Casual contact does not transmit leprosy. So when you see a patient with leprosy running out of the room, it is not necessary.
Good. Yes. Me.
You described the difficulty culturally because you could offer that the people had to buy into it and accept the shame or whatever the benefit was to bring
Before we had ARVs, the drugs that actually treat it, stigma was everywhere. And no one wanted to be tested because we really had no treatment for it, and it just stigmatized them in the community. Once we had treatment and people saw people who were about dead get better and resume a normal life, stigma gradually decreased. We also, I showed pictures of the chief and the village headmen. We also had a lot of help from them. And part of this was because of Phil Tuma's work with malaria in the community. He had spent hours and hours in the village convincing the people, talking to the headmen, talking to the people about the value of the malaria research. And at times they would accuse him of taking their blood to sell it or giving their children food so we could fatten them up so somebody was going to eat them. I mean, all these strange things. And he spent lots and lots of time. By the time the AIDS epidemic came, we had such a good relationship with the community that the community really helped us in getting people to come. There was one meeting that I had with the chief and the senior headman trying to get them to get everybody in the community to be tested. And I decided that they needed to be an example. So one of my objectives for that meeting was to have all 18 of those senior headmen, the chief and myself, be tested while we were there and show everybody the results. And nobody thought it would happen. But I put that up, and I turned around, and they said, fine, when do you want to take our blood? So it really was largely the relationship with the community that had been built up over the years that helped with that. 2017, we had a big program trying to get the whole community tested so that we could get everybody on ARVs and get rid of this disease. And we tested 70,000 people. 70,000 people agreed to be tested for HIV, and only 1.5% of them were positive, which meant we had all the rest of them already on treatment or in the system. Right. Yeah, I think we can't say enough about what long-term missions, what the result of it is. I don't know how much you know about Brethren in Christ missions, but the Bundys in Spain went years and years and years, and two or three times it was talked about bringing them home, and now after more than 20 years, they're starting to see the effect of the ministry. A long-term commitment rather than a year or two. I mean, how would you like to change a pastor every year? You know, it would be difficult.
A couple of things come to mind. When you give to our church, part of the giving that Millersville does is we support missionaries. And so I want you to feel connected to what's happening in Macha and India and Spain and wherever. You have a part in spreading the gospel and sharing Jesus with others. So you are to be thanked for that as well. So thank you. The other part is, maybe God is calling us, some of us, to serve in long-term missions. Okay. Now, I get excited when I hear things like that, except when John is doing eye surgery. Then my enthusiasm goes down pretty fast.
If you were blind from cataracts, you would be grateful.
Somebody would do it, but not to me. Yeah, so think about it. Think about how God would have you serve. Okay? I wrote two things down here. Bishop Namani, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Namani, who lost his wife. And the need for discipleship there as well as here. So I think we're going to stand and close in prayer right now. And we'll pray for these. We'll pray for John and Esther in their transition time yet, I'm sure. And for missions. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to see what you are doing around the world and especially at Macha. Thank you for those who have heard the call and responded in obedience to serve there. Thank you for what you're doing through people. Thank you for your miraculous healing and your miraculous work in people's lives. And Lord, we believe that you're doing that so that you can show yourself to these people and call people into your kingdom. And that is the purpose. That is the goal, that people would respond to you as Savior and Lord. And we pray especially for Bishop Namami as he's serving now with a great hurt and a great loss in his life. And we pray that you would comfort him. We pray that you would be with him, that you would heal this deep hurt in his soul and spirit, and help him to keep his eyes on you. Surround him with people who can encourage him. And I pray that you enable him to carry out his responsibilities as leaders. We pray for the discipleship of believers. Lord, we hear a lot about discipleship these days, here and there. And so we pray that you would raise up people that know you, that walk closely with you. We pray that people would respond to you. We pray that those in leadership would know how to disciple those in ministry under them. We also pray your blessing upon John and Esther at their home in this period of transition. We pray that I don't believe you're finished with them. I believe that you can open doors of opportunity and ministry yet, and that you would bless them. Thank you for them sharing with us today. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.